Hello, this is Stephanie bringing you the Elevate broadsheet for August to bring colour and inspiration to you and elevate your mood wherever you are. And on the first page, it's me, so pull up a deck chair, breathe in the salty air, hear the cry of the seagulls and gaze out to sea. I must down to the seas again, to the lonely sea in the sky, is from Sea Fever, a poem by John Masefield. We have been packing our beach bags since 1626 when Elizabeth Farrow discovered a stream of acidic water running down the cliff and into the sea of the South Bay at Scarborough. The water healed ailments because of its chemical makeup. Visitors flocked to take both the therapeutic waters and bathe in the sea, and Scarborough Spa became Britain's first seaside resort. Bathing machines, beach huts, swimming costumes, windbreaks, deck chairs, buckets and spades, seaside rock, and even donkeys followed. For the call of the running tide is a wild call and a clear call that may not be denied. Sea Fever is about the call of the sea to sail, but whether you prefer a paddle with your trousers rolled up or skirts tucked in your knickers, to sit on a promenade watching the beach and passers-by with an ice cream or fish and chips, or to stride along a coastal path, a day trip to the sea is always a tonic. Pull up a deck chair, breathe in the salty air, hear the cry of the gulls, and gaze at the sea with me. I love the sea in all weathers and can't choose between wild waves crashing onto a beach or flat calm on a hot day. Do you have a favourite beach to visit? Sand or shingle? Hours spent in rock pools with a net or combing the beach for shells to take home? We found a starfish left behind by the tide, but our rescue bucket of water was not needed, and we watched with joy as it crept with speed back to the sea. Photographs show my grandparents on the beach at Skegness, my grandfather wearing his trilby hat, suit and tie. He looks hot, out of place, but has removed his socks and shoes. There is sand between his toes, the hint of a smile on his face. Sand in the sandwiches, sand in the tea, flat wet sand running down to the sea, is a lovely poem from Seaside by Shirley Hughes. Years later, my family and I are photographed on the same beach at Skegness, squinting into the sun. Sandcastles on display, swimsuits wet from a dip. Our clothes mark the passage of time, but the sea is the sea. The sand is between our toes and there are smiles on our faces. As you gaze out to the sea, if you have online access, you could also have a little look for two versions of La Mer or the Sea by Charles Trenet or by Bobby Darin. And on my page also there are photographs of some beach huts, some stripy deck chairs and wild waves crashing onto the rocks. Our next page is by David Davies, who's talking about summer holidays, camping and estuary shorelines. David writes, there's a Russian proverb that says, no year has two summers, yet Ariel follows perpetual summer, singing, on the back's back I do fly, after summer merrily, which is from The Tempest by Shakespeare. Camping in a small clearing in sheltered woodland on North Dartmoor. It's an area marked by old railway lines that followed long curves of upland around remote villages and where summer daytime gives a sense that local wildlife has gone away on holiday too. There's a hush along the pathway between deep leaf litter and fallen branches, dense bramble and bracken, beech and oak saplings. Life seems paused with a feeling of secrets. Is it how we might imagine a place to be when no one is there to see it? Now a kestrel's call somewhere in the woodland canopy and faint movement in the shrub lair below. Later in the afternoon and towards dusk, the air is peppered by blackbird and jay alarm calls. As the light thickens and becomes grainy, the moisture above ground level rises, bringing a scented humidity of leaf and wood decay. The relative warmth at soil level encourages beetles and woodlice to forage. Fungus, quite unnoticed by day, seems luminescent under the approaching night, echoing the half moon above the canopy. The urge to gather around a fire, to bring and tell stories becomes insistent. Campfire allows people to unfurl their imaginations against the borderline of night, a kind of receding canvas to draw out meaning, to glue and unstick ourselves. Night born into a tunnel of retelling, planting star and flame markers, wading through nighttime meadows that line the inside of our history, reclaiming memory. Attracted by the fire, moths and insects appear and bats seem to splatter across clearings like old film footage, grainy and erratic. Tawny, Barn and Little Owls begin their hunting. The Barn Owl early on and Tawny and Little Owls later, and towards the dawn, often sporadic, with long, empty silences. Curling into the floor of the woods, one layer onto the other, unbroken time, end and beginning one inside the other, fine mist like soft pins, woodland's breath, an unhurried swathe washes towards, around and away, threading, enveloping us in its arms. The coming daylight triggers a sparse dawn chorus, tree creeper and song thrush. For a while the night calls and dawn songs merge. The owls seem to sign off with shorter calls between them, like a triangulation, and then nothing, as if they have slipped into the gentle current in the canopy between night and day, their own dappled dreamscape. As though owls have drawn a curtain on their chapter, while the dawn song, hesitant, plaintive, reflective, moves the cycle forward, an unbroken continuity of delicate and incremental time. The transition of day to night to day is drawn out, becomes a time all of its own, yet is seamless, lulling, perpetual. And David has photographs of the trees, the woods where he's been camping, and a close-up on that dense forest undergrowth and shadows. And our final page is by Hannah, who's writing from her off-grid small holding and telling you about her summer. Hannah writes, "It has almost been a year of writing for the Elevate Your Mood broadsheet, and this issue will be our last for a while as we return face-to-face contact with patients. As I reflected when beginning these entries in August last year, I love to write a journal and find great comfort in the written word. It certainly has been enjoyable to take time to pause each month and connect with the key events and changes that occur in nature throughout the seasons. I hope you have enjoyed reading and that you too have discovered new comforts or interests during this time. At the time of writing, the garden is still in full bloom and the long days and hot weather make gardening a desirable option. After a poor start to the growing season, the annual vegetables are catching up, but any produce reliant on good spring conditions has come late and suffered. Extending the season at the end of the summer will be vital to maximise the yield this year, particularly for produce in the polytunnel and for the outdoor squashes. We will hope for a late first frost and will fleece any frost-tender outdoor vegetables, making sure that all gaps in the polytunnel are sealed in preparation. Speaking of freezing, the home freezer is gradually filling with berries, red, black and white currants, raspberries, jostaberries and gooseberries. This year I have taken to drying many more flowers and herbs. Perhaps after the poor spring I feel a greater need to preserve the bounty in colours of summer. Dried bunches in the home do indeed help to elevate the mood and I love the quiet mindful act of picking and arranging. In the ornamental areas of the garden, having let many areas go wild, we are now beginning to open up spaces and pull out armfuls of weeds. The wildflower meadow is gradually being scythed and early mornings are a great time to do so. Tall teasels have been a particularly enjoyable feature of the wilding project this year, as they adorn large sections of the garden. I do enjoy the teasel's unique structure and colour changes, and the goldfinches are certainly feasting on the seeds. The cycles and connectedness around land work, from seedlings to growth, to cutting and composting, are so rewarding. I hope that you have enjoyed reading A Full Year's Cycle in the Garden through these uplifting publications." And Hannah has a photograph, a lovely basket full of raspberries, jostaberries and blackberries, and another of a bunch of garden flowers, which I can see sweet peas in there amongst others, and a photograph of those tall teasels next to a bench in the garden. I hope you have enjoyed.